Today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthur's.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in one more time to the Refresh Radio program. This is the last Friday before Christmas. That means that the roads are going to be very, very full this weekend. Retail shops will have some of their longest hours of the season. If you haven't ordered it and expect it before Christmas, it might be a little tough to get there now, but you can give it a shot online if you feel so inclined. But do expect a great deal. Even though this was the longest Christmas shopping season you could have, Thanksgiving could never come earlier than the 22nd. And so there was over 30 days of shopping, and I guarantee you there are going to be people running around out there because Christmas will have snuck up on them. And so just want to encourage you, be prepared. I worked in shopping malls for like 12 or 13 years, and I'm very familiar with the increased stress of the holidays. And so I encourage you, if you haven't done it, get out there, get it done as quickly as possible. So my name is Bob Arthurs. You are listening to the Refresh Radio program. This is a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. Our phone number is 321-454-4263. If you got a testimony I just talked about in the past couple of programs about the power of testimonies, that it brings understanding into our lives. And so if you have a testimony that you would like to share with us, something that God has done, maybe he brought a word of healing, maybe he brought a word of understanding, a word of direction, and you just wanted to say, thank you, God, for ministering to me at just the right time in just the right way, we would love to hear from you. We appreciate it a great deal when we hear from, as a person referred to themselves as our radio congregation. We do want to let you know about this coming Sunday morning at 10:30. We have our Christmas Sunday service. That will be followed up on Monday night with our Christmas Eve communion service. So that's going to begin at 6 o'clock. It will be concluded by 7 o'clock. And you would be amazed at the number of things that get done in that period of time. Our Christmas Eve service is a little bit different. It is a little bit of a technology service. We don't do all of the singing ourselves. There are some technology-driven aspects to some of our songs and praise and worship. There's video and all sorts of things. There tends to be a mindset that if you're a small church, you must be behind the times. We try and modernize our ministry as best we can, as long as it's going to be ministry. We're not into bells and whistles for just bells and whistles. We are in the business of enhancing ministry. So that is coming up on Monday night. I will be a good steward of your time, and be a good steward of my time too. I got a busy week ahead of me, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. I'm looking for a specific Christmas gift this year that has nothing to do with dollars or cents or packaging or bows or anything like that. I've asked God for a specific gift, and I will share that gift with you in 2019. So with that being said, we do want to call your attention to the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. They are licensed, insured. They have years of experience. They have Christian values because they're Christians. He preaches the Word of God, and their team that operates with professionalism and skill, they will take care of you. They will do it right and get you taken care of, whether it's air conditioning, heating, or electric. Don't let somebody con you into thinking that a fly-by-night person is going to be able to treat you well. What they will do is they will take advantage of you well. You want to use people who are going to treat you like brothers and sisters in Christ, and the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric will do that. So give them a call, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, and they've been supporters of this ministry for pretty much the entire 5 years. All three of these businesses that we talk about have been with us since the very beginning, and we are greatly appreciative of their support. So we are talking about the will of the Lord. We talked about understanding. How do we get that? And today I'm going to take you to Psalm 143:10. We're talking about understanding the will of the Lord. How do we do that? Well, the way that we don't do it is we don't go out and we don't get drunk. Okay? We're not addicted to drugs. Don't be addicted to anything but Jesus. Don't be addicted to food. Don't be addicted to television. Don't be addicted to your electronic devices. Don't be addicted to the games that are out there. Don't be addicted to anything except for Jesus. Be totally dependent upon him. So Psalm 143, verse number 7, says this: "Answer me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant." In verse number 10, it says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, and your spirit is good." If I were to ask you from your school days, did you have a favorite teacher? I'll start off there. If you had a favorite teacher, I could name you some of my favorite teachers. I had a third grade teacher that I didn't want to go to fourth grade because that meant I wasn't going to be in her class anymore. I just really appreciated her. I can't tell you what about her I appreciated. About that same time, there was another teacher, and I was not a big fan of hers. Can't really describe to you why I wasn't a big fan of hers, but whenever we had to go to her class, it was not nearly as much fun as going to the other class. And then I got to high school, and by then I was becoming more proficient in math than some of the others were. I had to work hard at it, but I was getting pretty good at it. And my 10th grade math teacher was phenomenal. My 11th grade math teacher had written the textbook on for the class. He wrote the book for the class. And so he had a great deal of head knowledge, but he wasn't much of a teacher. So I didn't really care for his class. And I loved my 10th grade trig and analytics teacher. Her name was Mrs. Daniels. She always reminded me of my my great-grandmother who had passed away just a few years before I was in Mrs. Daniels' class. But it wasn't the looks that caused me to love her. It was the fact that she cared. I was in her class prematurely. I don't know how I ended up in her class. I was supposed to have had geometry before I had her class, and I took geometry the next year. And yet, even though I was a 10th grader in an 11th grade class, she was a really good teacher. And I remember one time that I thought that I had found an error in the textbook. The way that it worked when I was in school was in class you would work the odd number problems, And then you would go home, and your homework was to do the even numbered. You would put the answers to the odd number problems in the back of the book. And I remember working on this problem, and I kept coming up with the wrong answer. And I gave it to the person in front of me to review my work, and they said, "It looks right to me." I gave it to the person behind me, "It looks right to me." And I gave it to the person on the other side of me, "It looks right to me." And I went up to Mrs. Daniels, and I said, "I believe I have found an error in the textbook, because it is coming up with the wrong answer. My answer is right, and the textbook answer is wrong." And I want you to know that that is possible. Even my Bible that I have, that I preach from, the typesetter made a mistake in one of the passages and omitted a letter. And I know it omitted a letter because I looked it up online, and it is. It's not a Bob perception issue. It is actually missing a letter in the typesetting. But I went up to Mrs. Daniels and said, "You know, I found an error in the textbook." And looking at it for less than 2 seconds, she didn't even look up. She just handed the paper back to me and said, 9 times 7 is 63, not 56. And I went humbly back to my class, or back to my seat, and still got an A in the class. She was teaching me things that I was not even prepared to tackle, because I hadn't fulfilled all the prerequisites. Today, I want to talk to you about God being our teacher, our favorite teacher, a godly teacher, a good teacher. And it, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, He is skilled to be a wonderful, wonderful teacher for you and I. Here in Psalm 143, the psalmist, this is a psalm of David. He says, "God, I'm going to ask you to teach me to do your will." So I want to ask you right now to take a look in your life, in your situation, and see what the school of the Spirit looks like in your life. Are you surrounding yourself like I did when I went to college? And anytime I needed a boost in my GPA, I took a math class because I was going to get a straight A in that class. Do you only study those things that you want to study? Do you study those things that are going to promote controversy? Or do you study the things that are going to compel you to walk in greater fulfillment of the will of God in your life? And David says, "God, the greatest lesson I need is for you to teach me to do your will, for you are my God and your Spirit is good." So there's always the hard way of learning things, but a wonderful teacher will make sure that as many people as possible are learning. There's a book that I have. It's called The 7 Laws of the Learning, written, I believe the author's name is Bruce Wilkinson. And he talks about his favorite professor in college. And he talked about how he's the one who got him excited about learning. And he would go into class and he had a set formula that he would operate by, and he delineates what that is. But he wanted to make sure that every student was paying attention to the lesson that was going on. And so this Bruce decided that he was going to see what the teacher would do if he just decided to be absent-minded one day. And so he went in one day and just stared out the window and decided, I'm just going to not pay attention to what he's saying, and I'm going to see how he responds. And the teacher was getting more and more animated, shall we say, because he didn't like it that one of his students wasn't paying attention, because for him, communicating this information was not just his responsibility to spit the words out, but it was his privilege to communicate it in such a way that the students would grab hold of it. And he just didn't pay attention that day. And it took him less than a couple of minutes. And finally, he said, "Mr. Wilkinson, would you please tell the class what is so important outside that window that you are not paying attention to the lecture this morning?" Now, parents would write letters to the school, to the college, and say, "How dare a professor do that to my son," and all that sort of stuff. But for him, it was indicative of a teacher who cared. Did you know that God disciplines the ones that he loves? Now, there are a couple of things that we were talking about understanding the will of the Lord, and I'm going to cross those over here into the "Teach me to do your will, O God." But in Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." If we're going to understand, we have got to put effort. Bruce Wilkinson, in that book, describes how his kids picked up on the title of the book, that the seven laws of the learner, that it was the teacher's responsibility to teach. And his kids picked up on that and said, "Oh, good, then we're off the hook." And he said, "No, I need to talk to you about the laws of the student." And part of that responsibility is that we've got to pay attention. So if you really want to gain understanding in the will of the Lord, you need the Holy Spirit to teach you, but you need to be an attentive student. I need to be an attentive student. We need to pay attention, and that means that there's a cost that's associated with not paying attention. Maybe you haven't learned that yet, but there's a cost to neglecting your job. There's a cost to neglecting your spouse. There's a cost to neglecting your kids. There's a cost to neglecting your health. And there's a cost to neglecting your spiritual health. So we need to pay attention. So when you go to church, now I can tell you that I'm a person that wants to make eye contact with all sorts of people. And I appreciate the fact that there are Bible apps and all sorts of things that are on your phone that you can utilize. I remember the first time I heard a pastor say, "If y'all would hold up your Bibles this morning," and everybody held up their cell phone. Things have changed in the past 10 to 15 years. But I will tell you that many people that are sitting in church are distracted by their phones, and it's not their Bible app that is what is on their phone. I know that there are a lot of kids who play games on their phones. There are a lot of people who are doing all sorts of things on their phones. And I've even known that there were people who were sitting in church under the ministry of the Word, and instead of paying attention to the Word, they were actually on Facebook or social media, and they were posting things. And they didn't know that I was, or they forgot that I was friends with them. And so it would say when they posted that information, and it's like, you're not paying attention. And if we don't pay attention, we're not going to gain the understanding. I heard a story one time of an evangelist that came, and he preached a message at a church, and the church just said all sorts of amens, and it was a very emotional service and a great time at the altar. And when he came to church that night, there was a great deal of expectation. They couldn't wait to hear the message, and he said, "I have a question. What did I preach on this morning?" And even though there had been a great deal of amening, even though there had been a lot of emotional interaction with the messenger that day, no one could tell him what he preached on that morning. And he said, if we're not going to pay attention to what God said this morning, why would he speak something new to us tonight? Have you paid attention? Have I paid attention to the things that God has said in the past? Because if we will pay attention, we will learn. We will understand what the will of the Lord is. He will teach us what the will of the Lord is. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." And so there is that aspect, that correction, like I experienced in Mrs. Daniels' class in 10th grade. And I never forgot I remember the correction. I couldn't even tell you the principle that we were studying at that point in time. That wasn't the thing. The thing was, don't be full of yourself. Don't be more arrogant than you should be. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. You're not as smart as the textbook writer. You're a 10th grade trig and analytic student. Okay? And that's not saying that there can't be some supernatural moment that your kids have. Now, if you are talking about technology, if you don't understand it, find a 13-year-old and they'll help you to understand your technology. It's because they've grown up with it. It's more of their native culture than it is for us. But we've got to remember to stay humble. Got to remember to stay humble. And so God, in his teaching us, he will correct us. And so correction gives understanding of what the will of the Lord is. When you are corrected, you know that what you did was outside the will of God. And so you have now eliminated that as an option, and you've narrowed down the focus. And so I encourage you to pay attention to the correction. The correction is not to bring satisfaction to the person who is bringing the correction. The correction is designed by God to bring a change in behavior to the one who is supposed to be learning. I will tell you this. I love my kids. I have a great relationship with my kids. But I didn't get that great relationship by, when they were growing up, always giving them what they wanted. There were times that they wanted things that they couldn't have, and there were other times that they had things that they shouldn't have. And so my job at that point in time was not to be their friend. It was to be their parent. It was to be their teacher so that they would understand what the will of the Lord is. And I'm not saying I was perfect. Believe me, I was not perfect. My job was to do a better job than when I was growing up, and their responsibility now is to do a better job training their kids than what I did. My parents did better than their parents, and so we want to take the foundation of learning, and we want to continue to elevate that, because the time is short. 7 billion people plus on the planet that need to hear Jesus. We can't afford a bunch of foolishness. Now here's where we are in our modern society. People hate correction. People do not like it whatsoever. And the thing about not accepting correction is that means that we're never going to get to the place where we have an adequate understanding of what the will of the Lord is. So please do not reject correction. It's God's great gift to the ones that he loves. In Daniel chapter 9, verse number 20, it says this, "Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision." Gabriel said, God has given you skill to understand. Do not make declarations like, I'm never going to get this. I'm never going to understand this. I'm never going to wrap my hands around that. Because at that point in time, you are failing to factor in the God factor. that God can give you the skill. You might not have the degree behind your name, but please do not mistake that for the fact that you cannot grow in understanding what the will of the Lord is. There are many people who've never been to Bible college and never been to seminary who have a greater grasp on the will of God than some of the most educated people in our country. Last thing on understand what the will of the Lord is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 7, Paul writes to Timothy, his spiritual son, and he says, "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." We started off today by saying that David wanted God to teach him to do his will. You know what? That's the king. That's the king. But I don't believe that was his mindset once he got to the throne. I believe that that was his mindset when he was a shepherd, when he was a musician out in the sheep field. Do you realize that before he was king, he was a compassionate shepherd who would go and rescue the sheep out of the mouths of predators because God taught him how to be a shepherd? And not only that, but while he was out in the field, he was taught how to be a musician so that when King Saul was tormented in his spirit by demonic spirits, they would bring David in, who would play on his harp and his lyre, L-Y-R-E, and the demons would flee. David was taught warfare. There were a lot of things that he grew in understanding. And so Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "May the Lord give you understanding in all things." May God give me greater understanding in the coming year than what we have had thus far. May you grow in understanding in your marriage and understanding in your finances and understanding with your kids and your grandkids. May God give you understanding with technology. May God give you understanding in knowing and serving Him, and that you serve Him and represent Him well wherever you go. God bless you. Merry Christmas. See you next
time
here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Are you the wonderful creator, the one and only Son? Salvation to everyone. Are you the Messiah, the risen and living Lord? Did you die for me on a tree, paying the price I can't afford? Jesus. Jesus, surrender.